Hi and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with Flu and...
Chris.
Lee.
Without Flu.
Hi, Flu.
I'm flueless currently.
I'm not.
Try not to sit too close to you.
Yeah, and if you're downloading this, use virus protection. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Oh dear, that was awful.
I know, but we've got news and the show must go on.
Oh, come on.
let's get on with our sick podcast.
We're not talking about Red Bull first. We are talking about what we assume is going to be called Renault F1, but not PDVSA Renault F1.
No, because Pastor Maldonado is out of the team and Kevin Magnussen is in.
By all accounts, Kevin Magnussen is in at the moment. This is Monday night, so...
Yeah, there is one news source reporting that it's done, he's in, and many news sources reporting that it's as good as done.
Yeah. I think we can more or less say it's going to be K-Mag.
Yeah.
Kevin Magnussen in, Pastor Maldonado out. Pastor has put out a statement saying he won't be in Formula 1 this year.
No, the only thing that's more done than the contract between Kevin Magnussen and Renault is Pastor Maldonado. No, hang on, did I say Pastor Maldonado?
No, you said Kevin Magnussen.
Oh, well, Pastor Maldonado's career.
Yes.
That's pretty done.
Stick a fork in him, he's done.
Yeah, and it's a shame for F1 Racing, who released their new issue today with...
Well, it wasn't today, it's a couple of weeks old.
Was it a couple of weeks old? But still, they've done a huge mock-up of what the Renault's going to look like with all these PDVSA logos all over it.
Yeah, it's not going to look like that.
No. It'll probably be yellow.
Whether or not they'll have a title sponsor, they may or may not.
Be Total, won't it?
But yeah, it usually is with them.
Yep.
Or Elf.
I can't remember. I thought it was Elf normally who went hand in hand with Renault.
I wonder if they're still going to keep like the Microsoft sponsorship and stuff like that.
Well, I don't know, because
that was Genie Capital, didn't it? Who used to own Lotus. So,
well, they can't have Microsoft on. There's not going to be as many crashes.
Ooh.
Ba-dum, ba-dum, bom, bom.
Oi.
But yeah, in all seriousness, it looks as though the team have not just changed owners; they've completely changed their driver lineup for next season. Kevin Magnussen was going to. Looks as though he's going to be leading the team, which is a bit of a turnaround given what happened with him, the way he was treated by McLaren on his birthday last year. Happy birthday, by the way, you're sacked.
Yeah, but this is after being promised to drive for 2015 and then coming in as reserve driver for the first race when Fernando
wasn't electrocuted
and then unceremonially dumped.
Yeah. Yeah, which was, it was harsh for Kevin Magnussen, but we've discussed it before. Good first half of the season, terrible second half of the season in his only season in Formula 1.
He definitely deserves another go, doesn't he?
He deserves another go, but he's going to have to be team leader because his teammate is rookie Julian Palmer.
I don't think he's got... I know he's got a year of experience in him, but he's been out of Formula 1 for a year and... Palmer was testing a Formula 1 car last year.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So I don't think that year's experience is going to do much for him.
Do we think they're actually not going to bother with team leader and number two driver, and it's just going to be a case of... Do what you can, and then we'll see who we put our energies into.
Possibly.
Midway through the season.
They might find themselves.
They're not going to be in the chance for a championship, so I don't see why they'd back one driver over another anyway.
They might find themselves in a bit of trouble, because one of the quotes... in this interview in F1 Racing Magazine, is that the car, the 2016, this is Alain Permain saying this, the 2016 car has been designed to have a Mercedes engine installed in it. It's not going to happen now. It's going to have a Renault engine. Now, we've seen it before with cars where they have last minute engine changes and the car's not designed for the power unit, and it's awful. But
B-A-R.
Lee made a good point.
B-A-R.
But then Lee made a good point with the one example where you could, one exception to the rule, Braun was designed for a Honda engine.
One exception to every rule.
Yeah, Braun was designed for a Honda engine and ended up being having a Mercedes stuck in the back at the 11th hour and ended up being 2 seconds faster per lap than anyone else.
Not too shabby.
The other thing to think here is, I mean, let's face it, how long were we talking about Renault for last year? It seemed like the checkered flag dropped in Australia and we were talking about Renault buying Lotus.
Not quite, but yeah, it wasn't very long.
It was before halfway through the season.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Yeah.
So I don't believe that they built that they designed this year's car for Mercedes. I think what you'll find is the fact that they know they're going to struggle next year.
Don't forget, Red Bull managed to do three different designs depending on what was going in the back of theirs.
But that's Red Bull. And that's Red Bull.
That's it. I mean, what you've got to think about as well is Genie Capital, who did own the former Lotus team. They may have not allowed the design team to work on anything but a Lotus car for 2016 with a Mercedes engine in the back of it.
Well, they probably started doing the designs, then they realised that Tippex wasn't in the budget, so they couldn't actually make any changes.
I think as soon as it looked like Renault was buying that team out, because we thought it was going to be confirmed as early as halfway through the season,
but it wasn't.
So they must have been developing or going that way. I think the reason they've come out and said that is because they know they're going to struggle. Renault has got enough egg on their face from last year anyway.
But remember,
so
what,
it's not instantly Renault's rubbish, is it?
Most of it's thrown by Christian Horner.
Well, yeah.
Well, remember what your man said as well about the head of F1 racing at Renault. He said Renault are going to have to be humble in 2016 because of such a terrible 2015, and they know they're not going to expect results in 2016. You know, this is one of those long-term projects, very similar in thought process to the McLaren-Honda project. Don't expect anything from Renault in this first year, but you know they've got the money to invest. They say it's going to take about €300 million per year to invest until they start getting back to winning ways. Although the formula changes again next year, so who knows?
I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be where they are, where they were last year.
Because
towards the end of the season, I should say, not the beginning.
Yeah.
Because the team can throw a car together.
Yeah, but Lotus had an awful 2014. And then when they switched to Mercedes in 2015, that was the best part of switching to...
Oh, yeah. But that team knows how to put a car together. So
they do.
If Renault can sort themselves out, we don't think they're going to be up there with Ferrari and... Mercedes and arguably Honda, I suppose, next year now.
We are thinking at the moment that Honda, McLaren Honda, probably going to leapfrog a lot of teams and be up there. Not up there with Ferrari, perhaps, but fighting Williams, I would say.
Do you know what? I think it's too early to count them out of anything yet, McLaren.
Yeah.
Let's start making predictions when we've seen the first test, because we'll know...
We'll know nothing.
Conjecture without any information, but that's what we're best at.
You'll be sending me off on tangents next.
Talking of tangents. No, sorry, carry on.
No.
But sorry, the Renault thing, though, as far as signing Magnussen and getting rid of Pastor Maldonado, I wonder how much of it was just the oil company. Not paying, or whether it was they were late with the payment, and then Renault used that as an excuse to get rid of Pastor Maldonado. Because as soon as Renault came in, there were sort of rumblings.
I don't think Renault wanted Grosjean Maldonado, even though the French connection with Grosjean.
Well, they didn't want Grosjean last time, so why would they want him this time?
I know what you mean. Yeah, he was sort of unceremoniously dumped by them the first time round, wasn't he?
Well, I mean, as soon as it was looking more likely that Renault were gonna buy Lotus, and Lotus announced that they'd signed Maldonado for this season, the joke that we made straight away was, Lotus have signed Maldonado, but have Renault?
Yeah. The answer is no. Yeah. They haven't. Yeah. So conjecture without information. Amazing. we're brilliant at this. We should do a podcast or something.
We should do. Great.
Record it and put it out there. Wait.
No, nobody'd listen to it.
No one would listen to us.
No, thank you to our 70 odd downloaders from this morning.
Hello, chaps. It's nice to have you on board.
Much appreciated.
Absolutely, but I mean, you got to look at the Pastor Maldonado, Kevin Magnussen situation. Who's going to give you more points out of the two of them? You got to say Kevin Magnussen. Also, safety in Formula One's going to go up.
Yeah, who's going to save you money essentially?
Yeah. You know, you're not going to have Yeah, all right. He might be bringing $30 million into the team, but as Lee has joked before, how much of that is just spent on front wings?
I mean, let's face it. Even if
it's not just front wings, it's rear ones as well.
Yeah. Front wings, rear wings, wheels, floor pans, mechanics. What else has he done? Tire barriers, tech pro barriers. Marshalls.
It sounds ridiculous, but let's say that Kevin Magnussen probably hasn't got $30 million to bring into the team. He's probably bringing some sponsorship in. So let's argue for instance, it's $15 million. Let's say you can bring in half the cash that Maldonado was able to come in with. I believe that Kevin Magnussen will save the extra $15 million for the team.
Yeah, and that's probably the thinking behind signing Magnussen and get rid of Maldonado. But it's, you know, we are now a major feature down in the podcast with Maldonado gone.
We have another feature in the wings. But the other thing for them as well,
the broken front ones.
Broken front wings, yeah, that Maldonado's left behind, scattered all over the globe.
As you were saying, it's a long-term venture for Renault now to get themselves back up to the top. And I think with a team as young as Julian Palmer and Kevin Magnussen, it's a statement of intent.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a sort of... they've only signed Palmer on a 1 or 2 year deal?
1 year. Same with what we're expecting Kevin Magnussen to get is just next year.
Yeah, but they'll give them a year, and if they are any good, they'll probably sign them for a few more years to come.
I think they'll try to get a world champion next year.
It wouldn't surprise me, though, if they'd got both of them on 1 year deals with options.
Mm. Yeah, that probably is the thing. But I mean, as I was saying, you're going to end up with a lot of extra safety because Crashter has gone.
Speaking of safety,
segueing nicely.
That was so smoothly done. I would like to dedicate that smooth transition between sections to Terry Wogan.
Yeah, because it was smooth.
It was smooth. Yeah.
Hello to our one listener.
That's another Woganism.
It is.
We are getting middle-aged. Halo cockpits, then.
Halo cockpits look like they are... We mentioned this briefly last week. Look like they're the front runner for the... Not closed cockpit, but the driver helmet safety.
Extra protection.
Extra protection around the driver's head.
Like body form?
No. Oh, yeah. Not at all like body form. But Lee, is it Anthony Davidson who said something about this? He was telling me before.
Yeah, he seems to think that it's a solution that will help with driver safety, obviously. But he doesn't believe it's the all-encompassing idea that's going to save lives, essentially. Because, again, that won't do anything, as we said last week, against things like what happened to Massa.
Things that happened to Felipe Massa, I mean, yeah.
That was a freak accident, though.
Yeah, but this is what we're trying to avoid, is freak accidents. What happened to Jules Bianchi was a freak accident.
Yeah, but if you had an incident like the one between Kimi and Alonso at Spa, say a car comes across, so you've got the front wing there. If that hits the wishbone, sort of, you know, the downstrut of it, doesn't that just mean you're going to get a cockpit full of carbon fibre?
You're going to get a cockpit full of carbon fibre. I mean, the thing I'm worried about as well is they're going to have to be quick release mechanisms somewhere for the drivers to get out of the car, because the thing you have to be able to get in and out of a car in like 3 seconds or something.
Well, not being a Formula One designer, I would imagine that the halo will come off with the headrest.
The headrest's always the last thing to go on after the
after the driver goes in.
Just the bulkiness that comes straight over the driver's head, in certain situations it might not be so easy to just remove it.
No, but you could say that about the headrest.
You could say that about the headrest.
The driver has to do the whole crossed arms thing to take it off, but the mechanics or the marshals could just lift.
Yeah. Read something interesting about Max Verstappen as well. I've always thought that when drivers have accidents, similar to sort of the Raikkonen and Alonso accident in Austria, you know, when Alonso basically, his car was sat on top of Kimi Raikkonen. That we saw Kimi Raikkonen, as you just said, then sort of let go of the steering wheel and just sort of places. I think he places his hands on his lap.
Yeah,
because the steering wheel's bouncing around so much, you can break your thumb or your wrist. Yeah. they're doing that. Now, when Max Verstappen had his huge accident in Monaco after running into the back of Grosjean, he didn't let go of his steering wheel. And he said the reason he did that is because his dad always taught him, his dad would know, that if you're going to have a head-on accident, that you can take some of the brace yourself in your arms and you won't have so much belt bruising from the harness. And you're more likely to be fit enough to race than if you just took your hands off the wheel.
But that's something Jan Magnussen says, which is different to every other racing driver. Jos Verstappen. That's something that every other racing driver in the fucking world would argue with.
Yeah. But it's what Max has said. Head on, hold on to the wheel. Anything else, let go of it. So it's an interesting point of view. But back to the Halo cockpits thing. If you're in that situation like Kimi Raikkonen and Fernando Alonso were, and you know, Raikkonen puts his hands down because he sees Alonso's car coming basically over very close to his head,
mm-hmm.
you're still going to get bits of front wing or wheel that are going to protrude inside that Halo. And, you know, hit the helmet. You know, it's not enough. It's a half-assed attempt.
I was just
going
to say, do you think it's because every time something's put up about closed cockpits? I mean, I said it last week when we had a similar conversation. You've got.
Are you going to do the internet idiots thing again?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've got the people that are logging on going.
Oh, don't want to watch closed cockpits.
Formula One's closed cockpits. Do you think Formula One is scared of that much? Oh, we can't cover the drivers. People might not want to watch it.
That's it.
I think they're going for the Halo as a sort of compromise between weight and safety and aerodynamics.
But you know what you need to do? If it was me, if you wanted to get closed cockpits past the Formula One public, the best way to do it is make it cool as fuck. Make it an aerodynamic device so there's things that can be done to...
Like relaunch the whole sport.
Yeah, give it a heads-up display. We can do that. We, you know, the technology's there that can have a heads up display. It doesn't even need. I know people don't like gimmicks in motorsport. Doesn't even need to do a lot. Just needs to look fucking futuristic.
It just needs
to be enough to make people go, wow.
Yeah, you said before, like, you know, somebody who's not particularly interested in Formula One could look at a car from like 1997 and look at a car from today and be like, look the same.
Yeah, it doesn't even need to be a heads-up display that the drivers could see. It could just, you know, so when you're on board in cockpit with the driver, you could have a heads-up display on the car of what the driver has on his steering wheel, and you know, save people.
Well, that'd be easier done with a TV graphic if it wasn't for.
It would be, but I'm trying to think of a gimmick that you could use.
Yeah.
To get the cockpit to work.
You've been playing Project Cars too much.
Oh, an awful lot. But 86 hours.
But the thing is, as well, it's
the joys of having a 4K curved TV.
Oh my word! It's lovely.
Other TVs are available.
Oh, they're not nice though, and they're probably your TV is probably shit, pauper. But yeah, it's great.
My telly's not all that.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the internet.
Oh right, okay. Oh, don't start an internet flame war. We don't. we don't need one.
All I want is to get a hassle on the internet.
Come
if
on,
I get a hassle on the internet. I've made it.
No, we're one of the fastest growing podcasts in the UK. We must.
But when people hate me, they'll have to listen so they can get angry with me.
I suppose so. This is good.
Joke for all the Manx listeners. In that case, just start advertising the podcast on Manx forums. You'll get hate. You don't even need to say anything.
Just for our listeners who aren't based on the Isle of Man, Manx forums.
It's where people go when they can't start arguments in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
I think we need to move on.
We do.
Quite a distance while staying in Europe.
We can't. Well, we are sort of out of Europe. In Azerbaijan.
That European city of Baku.
Yeah. Where?
Turns 8 and 9. What is going on?
I don't know. Sky Sports' Ted Kravitz.
I want to see that whole circuit now.
Yeah, so do I. Sky Sports' Ted Kravitz has put a photo up on Twitter today. Today being Monday. Of where turns 8 and 9 are going to be on the circuit. And they look about... About a car and a half, maybe two cars in width at the narrowest point.
Yeah.
And it's between an ancient medieval castle and a giant turreted brick wall. Unless they're going to demolish the brick wall, because I don't think they demolished the castle, that's going to be incredibly tight.
I believe the width is 4.5 Anthony Davidsons or 2 Nico Hulkenbergs.
And whilst you're going to hear me turning some pages, because in the front of this magazine, which I keep referring to, I want to just show Paul. Look, there's the advert for the Formula One Grand Prix of Europe. Book your tickets now at this website, and there is an opera house that looks like Sydney.
That's one hell of a long circuit if they're racing from Baku to Sydney.
I know, yeah. How are they going to do that? It's definitely not Europe, although if you don't listen to Eurovision...
Australia's in Eurovision. They're in it again this year.
Are they?
Yeah. Do you think we're going to have the whole palaver halfway about 2 months before we're supposed to go there of will it happen? Has there been enough work done?
Oh, guaranteed. It's
cobbled street, isn't it?
Will they back you out?
Ah! Oh, how long have you been storing that one up?
A couple of minutes.
I could see you... When Lee's got a joke that he wants to crack when somebody else is talking, the only way to describe it is he pulls a face like an owl that's about to spit out a pellet and is very happy about that thought.
It's nervous excitement, I believe.
Nervous excitement is how I'd describe it, yes.
I'm going for owl pellets.
Owl pellets. Fair enough. Talking of the weird and the wonderful, we can do another smooth segue here from Azerbaijan to Japan.
Also not in Europe.
But might have the European Grand Prix one day? I don't know, I'm shrugging my shoulders here. I don't know if they will or not. They had a Pacific Grand Prix in Japan, do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah, the...
At the Aida Circuit.
Aida Circuit, which was...
A big go-kart track.
Yeah, miles away from any major city. It was more remote than the Sepang Circuit in Korea was.
Oh, yeah, the... Yongam.
Yongnam Circuit, yeah, Sepang's Malaysia, isn't it? Flu medication. But somebody, some multi-billionaire had built a circuit.
On an island off Japan.
Yeah, just to race his own private collection of cars and bikes, and then said to Bernie, want to do a Grand Prix here? Here's some suitcases of money. And Bernie went, I like suitcases of money and I like Grand Prix. Yes.
Yeah. Do you think the guy that has the
Pacific? There was very few spectators, if I remember correctly.
That's because I think there was only one ferry there a week. And two grandstands.
Do you think the guys that stumped the money up for Korea and India, respectively, have conversations now and again going, do you have buyer's remorse?
Well, the man who stumped up your money for...
That is the worst drunk eBaying ever.
Yeah, it is. It was Vicky Chandok, wasn't it, who put the money up for the...
I think he had a big
Karen Chandok's
deal,
dad.
Yeah.
Who he was. I remember when they scrapped the Indian Grand Prix for 2014. We'll definitely be back for 2050. Oh.
No, we won't.
Yeah, no, guess what? Not happening. Although I quite enjoyed the circuit, the Bud International Circuit. It was good.
No, that was a good circuit. But no, the Baku one, I think there will be... Moving back to your point, just before we get to Japan... Mm-hmm. I think there will be the usual, is it going to be ready in time, yeah, and a month before the race, we will get the traditional, oh look, it's still a building site montage.
I'd love to know how much of that circuit is cobblestone.
Yeah, I would as well. Probably just that one stretch between the two castles, but they... What you were saying something before about temporary tarmac? They use it at the Race for Champions.
Something I read said there's going to be temporary tarmac. They do it in a Formula E race as well in Paris, I believe.
Okay.
But, you know, it must cost a lot of money. I'd imagine that Paris has a lot more money to throw at things like this.
Baku.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, Baku last year held the European Games, which
there's a theme running here, isn't there?
Yes.
Sochi in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, Sochi, the sunny seaside resort where it doesn't actually snow.
Well, it always shows, doesn't it, that you get people saying how much value it is to a country to hold the Olympics, and you know, how much money it can then bring into the country in the future. And I suppose it, you know, it shows it works. You know.
Oh yeah, I mean, Azerbaijan is trying to sort of launch itself as a massive sporting hub because they're attracting major cycling races there, which deride them all you want to me and Dan, who are both fans of cycling, but they do bring a lot of money in.
Yeah, yeah. Like Qatar doing something very similar, getting a lot of sporting events in. I wouldn't be surprised if we learned...
Tour of Qatar starting on Wednesday, by the way.
Well, there you go. You know, the I wouldn't mind betting that Qatar tries to put a Formula One race on at some point in the future.
Just don't bet in Qatar. We're not keen on it.
No, they don't like gambling. They don't like... Yeah, quite right. But they... I think they've just won the World Aquatics Championships. They've got the, you know, for 2023, they've got the World Cup in 2022. Which
Asterisk.
open brackets, asterisk. Subject to conditions, close brackets. so, yeah, it's not Europe, to me, anyway. But I'm interested in how this is going to work out.
Do you think we can predict where the next Formula One Grand Prix is going to be?
I'm going to say Qatar.
Well, I was going to say just by looking at the globe and going, well, where else is there some horrific human rights?
The Isle of Man.
Yes, the Isle of Man. Let's have a Formula One race in the Isle of Man. Let's use the TT course.
There's been Formula Ones around the TT course in there the has. 60s.
Mm-hmm.
They sent two Ferraris over on the boat, closed the road at 3 o'clock in the morning, threw them round and went, nope, that was a rubbish idea.
Yep. And also somebody took a heart-powered Jordan up the hill climb in Ramsey in 1990.
Did it get halfway?
No, in about 1993, 92, something like that. And it was raining and he didn't have wet weather tyres.
No.
And it's available to view on YouTube.
I will. I imagine we'll be watching this after the podcast.
It wouldn't surprise me. Will I be finding a link to put on? Because
yeah, we'll link it onto the website. Like if anybody knows the Isle of Man, it's very narrow roads and walls and things everywhere. Yeah, somebody decided to throw a Formula One car around on slick tyres in the wet.
Always going to end well. Anyway, Japan.
Yeah, we get there eventually.
We'll get to Japan eventually.
From nowhere in Europe to nowhere in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Honda have... Well, they haven't had to say it as such, but Mr. Arai has said that they're still not going to accept any outside help from anyone else, but they'd like to keep it all in tune, and they believe they can still sort out all of their problems
themselves.
Don't
tell me. He said this to the Japanese print media because they're the only ones that he speaks to.
No, wasn't there something he said about whack-a-mole, Lee?
Apparently, the season went a bit like playing whack-a-mole for him, because every time he solved one problem, another problem would arrive.
So, it was almost like every time you saw one thing, it would pop up, and he'd hit that problem over the head with a hammer, and then the next time he'd solve that problem, and then that problem would be hit with the hammer, and then another one would come up, and he'd hit that one with a hammer, and then Alonso would pop up, and he'd hit him with a hammer.
And then Rob Dennis would turn up with his own hammer.
And smash everyone.
He'd just go and batter, what's his name?
Bullier?
No, the last McLaren.
Whitmarsh.
Whitmarsh. Yeah. Just for laughs, just turn up to his door and batter him round the side of the head.
Martin, I made a terrible mistake.
Something battered.
Can you come back to McLaren Technology Centre, please?
No problem. Turns out, wasn't all your fault.
Yeah, it wasn't all your fault. However, have a hammer to the face.
Now I've missed this.
Go and work on some yachts. Sending you away down the boats.
Oh, God, is he Ron Smithers?
He might be. Ron Burns. Hang on a second, Ron Dennis and Martin Whitmarsh. Mr. Burns and Smithers.
Why haven't you thought of this one before?
We're only a few years late. Yeah. Never mind. So, Honda don't want any help from anybody else, even though Renault has said that Ilmor are going to be helping them develop the engine for 2016, working into 2017.
In all honesty, it will only know this year whether they actually need any help.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, they've had so many problems last year. You can't think they'd have any more teething problems like that again.
No, you would hope not. As we was it last week where we stated that they believe they found the missing horsepower that they had
against
everyone else. And we worked out with a little bit of basic maths that they're still probably going to be 30 to 40 horsepower off the pace at the beginning of the season, purely power-wise, just to start with. But that's an awful lot closer than they were, and it's not actually that far off being able to compete
for fifth place.
Yeah, sort of, which, given the season that they've come out of with McLaren, is fantastic.
Yeah, very much so.
Sorry, can you not read my writing for the next link?
No, I really can't.
Let's have a look. What does that say?
It's the one underneath the scarab and the man finding oil in the
well. I've changed that around, so let's talk about the Austrian driver, Gerhard Berger.
Oh, yeah, you stupid Berger.
Stupid Berger. No, he's actually making sense.
Burger King!
Burger King, yes! He's done it again, he's just made the owl face. Gerhard Berger has made two very good points.
I am a hoot.
Hoot, hoot! First point that he made.
Sometimes the hitched up ones are even worse.
The first point that he made was that he believes Formula One should be like it used to be, and he's not one of the drivers who's just like, it's better in my day. But he's used that as one of his arguments.
Mm-hmm. Right, in his day, he used to turn up drunk because he'd been out on the piss with Barry Sheen all night, shag anything that moved like Austin Powers on Viagra, then get in a car and come sixth or not finish.
Poor Ayrton Senna.
You know, but it was teammates with John O'Lacey. Why do you think O'Lacey always had that worried look on his face?
Well, no, they moved together. I think there was probably something quite suspect about them.
Yeah, they went from Ferrari to Benetton together, didn't they? Yeah, I remember that.
To bed.
Possibly. to Beddington. And there was that rumour that they might buy the Toro Rosso team together as well, wasn't there?
Oh, hang on. Wasn't he drunk when they said that?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
I think him coming back into Formula One as some sort of team boss ended with Audi's problems.
Possibly, that is a possibility. But no, he's made a good point in that he said, "In my day," in the less Yorkshire accent,
slightly more Austrian.
Yeah, but not Austrian farmer. They would have dominant teams, and not to repeat what we said too many times in the past. But you'd have teams that would, there would be more retirements. So you'd have an opportunity for a Minardi to score points. You'd have an opportunity for a driver who'd never scored points before to, be suddenly challenging for a podium at a race at some point during the season. What you're saying now is that Formula One cars are too reliable and it's not driver-centric enough. Driver-centricity.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I would like to see.
It's what powers drivers.
Do you think?
It is.
Do you think that Formula One cars are more reliable now because we've looked at look at the lap times from when you had like the record-breaking lap times, and how much slower they are.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because they're operating so within the thresholds of technology, whereas beforehand they were on the very limits.
They
of
the thresholds. The drivers could push the engines and the tyres to their absolute limit and. Yeah. Push it that hard that something things went bang. Yeah. Now things can't go bang because of cost constraints or
and it's lift and coast.
The only thing that breaks in Formula One these days is fucking tear ducts.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, toys getting thrown out of the pram.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. I know what Gerhard Berger means, and
the cars aren't necessarily more reliable. It's just that the strategies have become more predictable.
No, I think they are more reliable.
Yeah, I think they're more reliable.
It's hard to say because the cars weren't being driven within the safety window.
Take Honda out of it.
Before. Well,
Honda went bang, didn't they? Remember Kevin Magnussen's Australia race? That went bang.
Did he get a lap in?
No, he was on his outlap.
Outlap.
He was on his outlap and his car went bang.
Yeah, he hadn't even made it to the formation grid.
Mm.
So, yeah. The second point that Gerhard Berger has made, which is not controversial, but he's slightly contentious.
I'm just laughing at a picture of Slaven Bilic that's popped up on the TV.
Yeah, no, he does look quite special. I forgot what I was saying. Nico Rosberg.
Nico Rosberg.
Yeah,
Nico
he Rosberg. Says, Gerhard Berger says that Nico Rosberg can challenge and beat Lewis Hamilton this year.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he can. Could have done it in 2015.
I don't think he can beat Lewis Hamilton. I think Lewis can beat Lewis.
Much in the same way that in 2015 Rosberg was Rosberg's worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
If Lewis becomes Lewis's worst enemy, then yeah, Rosberg will have a chance. If you've got 2015 or even 2014 Lewis turns up, I'm sorry, but I don't think Rosberg stands much of a chance.
Well, the thing is, right, he turned around and said...
Well, no, that's unfair for me to say. If 2014 Lewis turns up,
yeah,
then Rosberg has to have really stepped his game.
Yeah. I don't think Rosberg has an answer for 2014 Lewis. I don't think he can step up that much.
Yeah.
But the thing Gerhard Berger was saying was, if Nico had had a different teammate, he would have won the world championship for the last 2 years.
I don't know.
If he'd have had me as a teammate, very possibly, but I still think I might have got one of them. But if he'd have had half the grid in Formula One, say the top tier between, say, Vettel, I'd stick Kimi in there because I like Kimi.
Vettel, Kimi,
Alonso,
Jensen.
Jensen, Hülkenberg. I'd argue.
I don't know about that.
Bottas.
Depends which Bottas.
I think a Bottas, given a world championship winning car, I think a Bottas would be quite dangerous.
I'm not convinced yet.
I'd argue even if a Grosjean that could stay on the track if he was given a good car.
Do we think that Nico Rosberg is just used to being the almost man? And can't break that.
I've said before, I think he does an excellent Barrichello impression.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you can't break that chain.
I'm the second best driver in Formula One.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the best driver is my teammate, so there's nothing I can do about it.
He only does a good Barrichello impression because Felipe Massa's Barrichello impression is impeccable.
You can't tell them apart.
No, you can't.
They're even from the same country and everything.
In a dark room.
In a dark room with a white car.
I like the idea of in a dark room, they're both stood behind you. They're both pushing you forward, trying to get you to the doorway.
Yeah. And if they get there first, they'll just open it and move out of the way.
There's got to be some kind of joke here about Brazilian escorts, hasn't there?
Well, no, but there is now.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's an interesting one. Absolutely. Thinking about Nico Rosberg.
I can't wait to see what happens between them two this year. I'm really, really excited.
Just try and think
it.
About Nico Rosberg consistently beating Lewis Hamilton as Hamilton has beaten Rosberg.
I can't see it.
No, I can't.
You're in the realms of fantasy with that because Lewis always seems to have something in reserve, and whether that something is a psychological power over Nico.
Mm. But with Toto saying, I'm going to let them race this year. It's not actually what he said. What he said was, we might let them race this year.
Yeah, so saying it and having it done are two things entirely.
Yeah, I think it really depends, as we've mentioned before, how close Ferrari are.
Yeah, don't forget with Ferrari, when Barrichello joined, Schumacher was driver 1 and Barrichello was driver 1A. There isn't a number 1 and number 2 driver here.
Yeah.
Who always had a brake issue on the last lap.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
But it was like when Eddie Irvine was Michael Schumacher's teammate as well.
Where they basically stole the world championship from him because they wanted Schumacher to get the first one. Because how come that Ferrari was 2 seconds off the pace all of a sudden in Japan when it hadn't?
Yeah.
When it was the pace all season.
Yeah, when it was the fastest car.
The thing with Rosberg and Hamilton as well, when you take Vettel into account, if Ferrari come out and they've got a real championship contender, and early on Mercedes know we're not going to be able to play the let's see which Mercedes driver wins, that they surely will have to put all their efforts behind Lewis within the first few races, you'd have thought.
Because I think if you... Well, yes, because...
He's proven. He's done it for them twice before.
Yeah, but I think what you've got to look at is your Toto Wolff or Niki Lauda or Paddy Lowe, and you're sat there and you think Ferrari are a real threat to us this year. We're in trouble, because if we start pushing Nico Rosberg, can I trust Nico Rosberg to beat Sebastian Vettel? I don't think I can.
Exactly, yeah.
Can I trust Lewis Hamilton to beat Sebastian Vettel?
He's got a chance.
You know what? Yeah, I can. I can trust Lewis. If we can give him the car, he can give us the results. Whereas you would struggle to do that if you're Nico Rosberg.
Yeah, he has let himself down with his own attitude.
However, he was mentioned on Sky Sports today as a potential signing for a lot of German Bundesliga clubs. New German international, Nico Rosberg, being watched by a few clubs. And who tweeted that into Sky Sports News?
Mercedes
Formula One teams, yeah.
Maybe they're trying to get rid of him.
Maybe they are, who knows?
Yeah, perhaps they want the pasta money.
Maybe they want the pasta money for lunch.
Yeah.
Just a quick note on two drivers, British drivers, one ex-driver, one current driver.
No, one driver.
One driver, Julian Palmer.
Yeah.
Julian Palmer has chosen his number for the 2016 season. You know how drivers get to choose their numbers now and stick with them if they wish? Well, not if they wish, they kind of have to.
Yeah.
Number 30.
Unless they win the world title.
They then can choose number one if they want.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton has chosen to stay in number 44.
I think that's what his album's called as well.
Number 44?
Yeah.
That's where he'll get to in the charts as well if he's really lucky.
Ooh. That's how many copies it will sell. if the entire world suddenly gets musical taste. I'm not a fan of the hippity hop.
I don't mind the hippity hop, but Lewis Hamilton doing the hippity hop? What's that race thing that he did? We made a song made out of car noises.
Yeah, isn't that going to be part of his album?
No, I don't like it. It's not a good idea. It's a terrible idea, in fact. Max Chilton.
Not a driver.
Somehow, an IndyCar team that only runs three cars has found the money to run a fourth car and is now having Max Chilton on board.
Where would that money have come from, do you think?
I have no idea.
What does Mr. Chilton do?
Write checks.
No, but where does he get the Benjamins to back these checks?
Stockbroker.
Probably.
Stockbroker, basically.
At least Tom Chilton is decent enough to know that he's... Oh, I don't want to go to Formula One. I'll stick in British touring cars. Thanks very much.
Yeah, because... but he's found his level and he does quite well at it.
Yeah, because he's found his level.
Yeah.
Max should be in stock cars over the road there, probably, to be quite honest with
probably
you.
The bangers.
Well, only if he's... Yeah, well, I don't know if he's old enough for that, is he?
Max Chilton couldn't find his level in water.
Alphas.
Woo! So,
So Max Chilton's going to be driving an IndyCar for Chip Ganassi next season, which surprises me because I always thought that Chip Ganassi were quite a good team.
Maybe Chilton will find his level in IndyCar. I can turn left.
What, running into the back of Sebastian Bourdais?
I can turn left.
To be fair, anybody seems to win a race in IndyCar.
Yeah, because Sebastian Bourdais usually wiped somebody out.
Jacques Villeneuve was an IndyCar sensation.
Yeah, but Jack Villeneuve was a good driver.
He was an alright driver.
Takuma Sato has won IndyCar races.
Takuma Sato was a great Formula 1 driver. Didn't know where the brake pedal was. Ever.
That's not
good. He didn't use the brake pedal, he used whoever was next to him or in front of him.
Well, if there wasn't anyone in front of him, he just used to press the accelerator harder.
Yeah.
More power! I'll slide around this one!
And Sebastian Bourdais also competed in Formula 1. Well, took part. Well, turned up.
He threw a few fits, if I remember rightly, as a Toro Rosso driver.
Mm.
Now he's sponsored by McDonald's, and he's loving it. let's move on to something slightly more Formula 1-ish.
Oh, Force India's 16-year-old.
We're not talking about whiskies.
Well... No, because they're not sponsored by a whiskey, because I don't think Vijay Mallya has got a whiskey label yet.
White and Mackay, they were sponsored by.
Have you ever drunk it? That's not whiskey.
It is.
Didn't that go with Ricardo? Not Ricardo. The Scottish lad.
Paul d'Arresta.
Paul d'Arresta. They still had, I'm sure they still had White and Mackay on last season.
Oh, did they? Oh,
yeah. Might have done. It's part of that drinks company, isn't it, that Vijay Mallya is a beneficiary of.
Yeah, part of the same big group that owns Kingfisher.
Yeah.
Do you think when they stayed as sponsors...
And the airline, which is why they got away with having Kingfisher on the cars in the non-drink advertising races.
Right.
Do you think when they had the... when he came in, he brought those in as sponsors, when they stayed on the car, when they got rid of him, do you think it was like, fucking hell, how am I supposed to get a drive now? I got in with them, and they've stayed without me.
Well, no, the only reason they stayed on the car is force injury, usually that broke, they couldn't afford to paint over them because they couldn't buy the paint. I remember they put a tender in with you, and you said 20 quid for a tin of black gloss, and they couldn't even push to that.
Yeah, they said emulsion, but like, what if it rains?
Yeah, that's the problem, what if it rains?
Well, yes, Force India have this new 16-year-old, I'm guessing, simulator.
Russian development driver.
Yeah.
Not to develop Russia.
Just to develop his driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nikita Mazepin or some...
Mazepin.
Mazepin.
Mazepin. You decide.
So, it's going to be 2 years before he can actually get into a car.
Yeah. Before he can apply for his super license.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, they have taken on a 16-year-old kid to play video games.
Yeah, it sounds it's a money bomb, innit, I think
somebody has a richer dad than Max Chilton.
Yeah, somebody's put some money into the team somewhere, and it's just like, yeah, we'll sign him. If he's actually any good, then we'll consider putting him forward for a super license and put him in the car in a couple of years' time. But how many years now have Force India had that driver lineup of Hülkenberg and Perez? Is it three years?
This will be the third year.
Two years. So Hülkenberg Perez. Before that, it was Hülkenberg d'Arresta.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've of the two drivers, which one would you move on? I would go with Hülkenberg.
Hülkenberg, I would.
Because he's just been there just a bit. He's starting to. He's a great driver, runs fifth quite often.
Mm-hmm. The thing is with Hülkenberg, though, it's...
he's been clean out of form this year.
Yeah, for fear of repeating ourselves again, he just hasn't shown the promise that he was meant to have.
No.
And it's now getting to the point where I don't think there's much more improvement that will be seen from him.
Excuse me.
In F1. Maybe he has... Joking aside with his Le Mans win solo backwards on a skateboard.
on top of a horse
with his feet tied together. Maybe he is more suited to WEC.
Yeah, probably. I think there's also got to be a point where if you're constantly in the talks for... Yeah, whenever there was a Ferrari seat or a McLaren seat or the Mercedes seat was up or Williams, to go back to Williams at one point, whenever there's a competitive seat available and yet again he doesn't get chosen, it must knock the driver's confidence. I know the idea of a Formula One driver or any sort of sportsman is to think, I am the best at this sport, I just need the equipment or the chance to prove it. But there must be times where you just go, actually, this is never going to happen for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it must have got to him by now.
Yeah.
You know, don't want to second guess, but I reckon we could be seeing Hülkenberg's last season in F1.
Possibly. I mean, they're not going to put the 16-year-old in straight away, are they?
No, but
the only thing that could save them is, I think, the 2017 rules, because I think
if he survives that long, he's got to have a stonk in 2016.
I just think that. It's for the same reason that just say that there's a mediocre season in McLaren and I and they want to get Stoffel in the car.
Yeah.
And I think obviously it's Jensen's contract that would be up. I think rather than fall out of Formula One, I think he'd find himself in a different team just because that his knowledge of Formula One will be too valuable in a big rule show.
Could find himself back at Williams or somewhere like that.
I wouldn't mind putting past Renault, to be honest.
Yeah, or Renault.
Yeah.
Depending on which one of the single-year contract drivers doesn't perform.
Well, if the rumours were to be believed, as soon as there was rumours that Magnussen was getting the 2015 seat, Williams were after Button. last year.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, while we're on the subject of skint teams, Manor appear to have got some Indonesian investment, which leads us to think this could be 50% of their driver lineup sorted.
Yes. Obviously, drivers come with their own backing, and there's been some transactions. Not necessarily transactions made, but sort of hinted at, that the investment into the Manor team is going to come from Indonesia, which points massively to Rio Haryanto, GP2 driver, getting a seat at Manor for 2016. Which obviously leaves one seat open for three drivers.
He didn't do a lot in GP2 last year, did he?
I think he may have won a race or two.
He was usually sort of top five-ish.
Yeah, he may have won a race or two, but he's... he's got one of the best names in GP2 for remembering.
I mean, Haryanto Elter. He was a Formula 1 driver, wasn't he?
Who's that, sorry?
Haryanto Elter.
I don't remember.
You're not thinking of Haryanto Elter, which is a corner. Haryanto Elter and Haryanto Bassa.
No, I don't think so.
They're corners at Imola.
No, I think I remember a driver.
No, I think you're thinking of corners.
I mean, the main time that we heard Rio Haryanto get mentioned last season was usually in the sprint racing GP2 when Stoffel was passing him. That's when we heard most drivers get named.
Yeah, when Stoffel Van Dorn was going past them. I like GP2. GP2's a great little series. It's just, of course, the window of drivers coming in from GP2 to Formula 1 is always going to be quite small. But we'll see what else... What else transpires from GP2 coming into Formula 1 in the coming years? But it looks like Rio Haryanto is going to get the one-man seat with Will Stevens, Alexander Rossi, and the other one I can't remember right now.
Roberto Mauri?
No, somebody else. All fighting for that other seat.
I can't remember who the third one was either.
No, there were three drivers. Four drivers and running for two seats. It looks as though Haryanto's got one of them, and I can't think who the other three were.
He did well last year. He was fourth.
Haryanto.
Yeah.
Yeah, fourth in GP2. I think he may have won a couple of races.
Three races, three wins, two podiums.
See, we do lots and lots of research on three legs, four wheels.
Mm. Yeah, before we talk about stuff. Before we talk about stuff, we research it and things.
Yeah, the running order is actually just writing down "don't say fuck or bugger" on a piece of paper. Oh, damn.
We can do this on iTunes now, so long as we say that we're explicit.
Oh, yeah, I'll put the explicit flag on. We can't say fuck or bugger.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you don't like it because you're not listening to it on iTunes, well, tough shit.
I think we've covered the running order for this week.
I think, there's been news, of course, big news, but there's we've pretty much covered it all for now.
So we'll be back. We keep saying this pre-season. We'll be back when there's more news to cover, so it could be next week.
I won't be here if you do.
That's a point. You won't, will you?
No. Is Dan here next week?
Dan will be back next week. I think he's just detoxing from Vegas tonight.
Right, that's fine.
So, we may be back in some form next week, or...
We will. There'll be a Renault launch next week.
Oh, that's a point. We'll have that to talk about, because that's happening on Wednesday.
Is there any more launches... this week?
No, I think everything else is getting launched in about 3 weeks' time. Renault are just going incredibly early.
Mm. Eric Boulier is looking forward to lunch.
Sauber will be launching their car around about July.
No, I can almost guarantee that Esteban Gutierrez will be launching the Haas into the barrier.
We did have something else to talk about.
What have we missed off?
The... Force India guy saying that the postponing of the meeting for the rules.
Oh, Otmar Schnafnoy.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a side point, but is it a complaint or is it a genuine reason for concern?
I think there's enough mooting and like twittering coming out of different people now to suggest that the 2017 rules won't be 2017 rules, and
I think there'll be 2016 and a half rules for 2017.
No, but I don't think the big Formula One shake up is going to happen.
Do you think they're going to put the engines off for another year?
They might put the engines off and bring in the aerodynamics for
well, the engines. What's the difference with the engines?
Cheaper.
No, that will stay. That's essentially signed, isn't it?
More energy recovery.
Yeah.
And turbo power.
See, I don't think the engine isn't going to be the issue, because it's your manufacturers that are doing the engines, so they've got the resources to do that. Mercedes,
but, are yeah, but the main thing for the 2017 engines in is that Bernie wants the outside companies that don't run teams mm-hmm. to be able to supply engines as well.
Yeah, but I'd be competitive, not just supply them.
You know, going back to the old days of Cosworth, Hart, Ilmor.
But I thought the whole idea of halving the cost of the engines and not having the budget engine come in, I thought that had silenced this now.
No, this is all part of the new cheaper engines.
Right, okay.
Well, it's the idea, isn't it, for 2020?
It's putting a cost cap on what it costs to actually make an engine.
Mm.
So that other companies can look at building an engine to make it
financially viable,
viable for them to supply a team when they don't have a team of their own.
Mm.
So it's basically Bernie saying, "I want Cosworth back."
Yeah, and Cosworth did build a 2014 engine turbo V6 power unit just in case Manor needed them. And they didn't, but I wonder if that 2014 Cosworth engine would have been more successful than the Honda for 2015.
It's a good question. I wonder if it would have been more competitive than Renault.
Maybe.
Mm. Yeah, because Renault struggled. So
that's definitely a thought. Right, well, that is definitely it for this week, then.
I think so.
Right, I apologise for the constant sniffing all the way through this, but you can probably tell I am suffering with man flu.
And a massive fan of cocaine.
Yes.
Oh, good Lord.
No, I'm not. Don't do drugs, kids.
Or anyone.
Or anyone. Especially not grown-ups.
See you sometime soon.
We'll be back soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.